Good morning. All right. See, I like to be an interactive preacher, and I need you to respond back to me. Those of you on the camera, I don't stay here. I move back and forth. So I'm just letting you know up front, okay? All right. Thank you, Pastor P. Thank you, HMCC, for allowing me to be here this morning. It is indeed an honor and a privilege. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time talking, but I do need to do things a little bit differently. That's one of the things that Pastor Pete was talking about. I'm going to share something with you. One of the things HMCC wants to do is go out and minister to the nations, minister to different people. And one of the things he impressed upon me, he said, it's hard to minister to different people when everybody doesn't look different. Everybody looks the same. And that's a good thing. You're accustomed to being surrounded with people that look like you. So how do you minister to other folks who don't look like you? Amen. Okay, so that impressed me talking to him, and we've had good conversation. So that's neither here nor there. I have my own personal mantra that I have to, that I adhere to, and it has helped me, and hopefully it would help you. It simply says in Psalms 118 and 24, it says, this is the day that the Lord has made. And it says, let us rejoice. The King James says, we shall rejoice. But speaking for myself, there were times I found it difficult to rejoice. Anybody ever had a time when a loved one died, you failed your exam, you didn't get into the class, parents are... your family has got issues, friends left you, loved ones deserted you, and you just, hey, it's time to go to church. Let's praise God. And you go, not today. I had to learn how to rejoice and be glad. And so that scripture now reads to me, this is the day that the Lord has made. I have learned how to rejoice. And you need that's a great thing, because now it doesn't make a difference what happens. Doesn't make a difference if someone dies, if someone leaves me. I'm going to be sad, but I'm still going to be able to praise God for all that he has done. Amen? All right, okay, y'all going to be on point today with me. Okay, let's have a word of prayer, and let's get right into our message. Father God, we thank you for this day. Woo, the day that you have made, day that we've never seen before, and one that we'll never see again. Father God, we thank you that you loved us enough to allow us to wake up and see this day one more time. And we say one more time because we don't know. This may be our last time that we get a chance to get to HMCC. But we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the leadership that you have here at HMCC. We thank you for the membership and those that come to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father God, we pray that this word settles deeply into their souls, into their hearts, so that it may grow up and bear fruit that you would have it to bear. Father God, we thank you in advance for what we believe you're going to do. And these and all blessings we ask in your darling son, Jesus' name, and for his sake, we pray. Let every heart simply say, amen. Amen. Now, before I get started, I need to ask you a question. Yeah, how many students are in here? That's not part of the question, but how many students are in here? Okay. So y'all used to taking tests, right? Okay, no, you're not used to taking tests. Okay, remember I told you this is interactive, so when I speak, you speak back, okay? All right, are y'all used to taking tests? Oh, okay, thank you, okay. Woo, had me scared for a moment. There's a question I believe is going to pop up on the screen. The question is, how are we saved? That's a question. So those of you who have your phone, pull your phone out and screenshot this, because there are some questions that are going to pop up that I need you to answer. And be honest and be truthful with your answers to these questions, because later on they're going to be pertinent to our particular message. How are we saved? Something a lot of times we don't consider that point. We just say, I'll do this, I'm saved, hey, yeah, I'm good. How are you saved? Now, as you're finishing doing that, there's a tragedy that's taking place in the majority of churches. It's a tragedy. I'm just leave it at that. It's just a tragedy. The tragedy is that we have people in the church who claim to be Christians, yet they don't live for Christ. I know that doesn't happen here at HMCC. Everybody come and say, oh, I love the Lord. He heard my cry. Okay. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. But there are far too many of us who simply profess Christ. We're giving lip service. We profess that Christ is my Lord and Savior. We've been taught his precepts. We've been baptized, made members of the church. We even come in like on Sunday and attend church services. But a lot of them just do what they want. They go on and live just like everybody else in the world. The only difference between their lives and most unbelievers is they get up and come to church on Sunday morning sometimes. That's a travesty. That is a travesty. Ooh, they don't live the type of life that Christ expects, nor do they give all to reach the lost and needy of the world. I know, ooh, he said, wait a minute, I didn't come here to get beat up. Wait, well, hold up, preacher, change your tone. I will in a minute. But I've learned a couple of things. That if I say something that offends you, ask yourself why. And if I step on your toes, learn to move your toes out the way. Okay, so the question is, the lesson we're going to start off is, do they have genuine faith? Do you have genuine faith, or are you simply a professor of that you're a Christian? Do you really believe? Now, here's the question. If you do believe, how do you show it? By coming to church? Hey, but for that matter, then you can call yourself a car and just live in a garage. Same thing, right? Hey, I'm a car. How do I know I'm a car? Because I live in the garage. I'm a Christian. How do I know? Because I come to church. Okay, let's see if we can help you out. Our lesson today is faith that works. Faith that works. And I need you to understand there's some ambiguity in that statement. Faith that works. Does it mean that this faith that I have, does it work for me? Does it accomplish everything that I desire? Or does that mean that faith actually causes me to work? There's a subtle difference. Faith that works, does it mean it works for you, gives you the things that you want, gives you the desires of your heart? Or does it mean it causes you to go out and work? Our scripture today comes from James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. James chapter 2, verses 14. I really like this. Y'all don't know how good this is to turn around and read the scripture. It simply says, what good is it, my brother, if someone says he has faith? Let me clarify that. When we say brother, we mean brethren. Sisters, brothers, okay? What good is it, my brother, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save them? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things that needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Now, some of you are going to say, hey, preacher, you have faith, I have works. Well, show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one? You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Wow. Leave that there. Go back to verse 14. What good is it? That's a question. What good is it if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save them? Now, we know that Hebrews 11:1 says faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Okay, I like that. So far, so good. But that's not the type of faith we're talking about here. We're not talking about that. Who is your faith, or what is your faith in? What is your faith in? Is your faith in your education? Hey, you're at the University of Michigan, Harvard of the West. It's a great school. You come here expecting not just to get a good education, but to get a good job from your education. Maybe it's your lineage. You have faith in your lineage. You come from good family stock. Look out. Or maybe it's your environment, the place where you live. What is your faith placed in? Hebrews 12:2 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. That's what James is talking about. He says, you have faith. In other words, you believe in Jesus, but you don't have any works. Can that save you? See, that was part of the survey. Can that save you? I believe in Jesus, right? I mean, look, the Bible asked me, it says, God sent his only son, that if I simply believed in him, I should be saved. So I believe. Hey, I'm saved. That's all I got to do. That's the extent. But is it really? This is what James is trying to convince us of. Is that all there is to Christianity? Hey, you get up, come to church on Sunday, and we never see you again. You don't open up your Bible. You don't read it. You don't help anybody. You don't do anything. You don't share the good news. You don't do anything, but you're saved. Really? Okay. This is the argument that James is talking about. Can you have faith in Jesus and not do good works? Jesus called this lip service. In Isaiah 29:13, the Lord said, because this people draw near me with their mouths and they honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me. This is not in my notes. You ever wake up and go, oh, man, it's Sunday. I got to go to church. See, I can't see. By your laughter, you're like, that's not what Christ wants. Because now you're coming because of you felt an obligation. I got to go. No. Anybody in love? See, wait, why is that funny? Anybody looking for love? Okay. Okay, all right, my bad. Okay, sorry. The thing is, whether you are in love or looking for love, once you find that, then you want to be around that person. You want to be where they are. You want to please them. You want to make them happy. You want them to make you happy. And so whatever it takes to make them happy, that's what you do. Okay. Jesus said, why aren't you doing me the same thing? You say you love me, but you don't want to spend time with me. You don't want to come to the house. You feel it's an obligation. You don't want to open up my word that tells you what I expect of you and what you can expect of me to learn how I want you to conduct yourself. You don't want to do those things that would demonstrate your love for me, but I'm a Christian. honor him with our mouths and our lips, praising, waving holy hands. But then when the service is over, what happens? Who do you talk to? Who do you reach? Do you go home and tell your, do you tell your roommate that doesn't come to church what you talked about in church? Do you spread this good news that what you spent the time and the effort to get saved? Do you tell anybody about this? Do you do anything to demonstrate you have an actual belief or love for Christ besides come to HMCC on Sunday? Okay, wow. Okay. Silence, crickets. Okay, watch this. Can faith without good works save you? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9. Hey, look at that. Watch that. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that nobody may boast. Verse 10 comes up, and that verse 10 comes into King James. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. See that? Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Good works, good works, good works, good works. So now the next thing is, well, what are works? Thank you, Maisha. Well, what are works? What? See, so some of you had that question, what are works? Crickets again. Okay, I'm going this side. Did some of you have questions what works were? Okay, I got a hand over there. Okay, I got to respond. How about this side? Did some of you have questions on what works were? Amen. All right, Lord, we're in the right house. Works. What are works? What are works? If I have to have some good works, or if I do this to please God, I'm going to jump around a little bit, but in our text, in our reading, it says, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed, King James says naked and lacking in daily food, and you say to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, I'll pray for you. What did you do? Say that again. Nothing. I know. Now, some of you say, well, wait a minute. Pastor told me prayer is always in order. Prayer changes things. Prayer works. Yes, it does. But if you hungry and somebody said, I'll pray for you, what did they do for you? Jesus says, if they come to you and they need something that you can provide and you don't do it, how are you a Christian? How are you spreading the good news of the song that almost made me crumple that they were singing. I wish they stopped singing. It says, he loves me like a hurricane. I'm a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When I think about all that he's done for me, I start to crumple in submission to all that he gave me. And he says, now I put my spirit in you. You have me in you. So why aren't you doing something? Doesn't Christ live in you? Are you sure? See, I got some. See, they're my peoples in the back. This is what he's talking about. I need you to demonstrate, not just say it. Anybody can say it. How do you show it? Love is an action word. Love me, show me sometimes. Bring me some flowers. Take me out. Take me on a date. Let's go for a walk around the park. Let's go to a movie. Let's do something. Hey, buy me a trinket. Do something. Show me. Demonstrate it. So when was the last time you demonstrated that you were a Christian? Y'all see where I'm coming from with this? This is James. Now, okay, I'm going somewhere with this. Titus 3:5 says, he saved us, meaning Christ, not because of works, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration, renewal of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm hopefully somebody's paying attention to something here. And I'll do one more because I want you to see something. I'm saying one thing and I keep reading something different. Romans 10:9. Because you confess with your mouth, but if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Did you see anywhere about works? No, you don't. And this is where some folks thought that James's book was a little spurious, a little straw, a little weak, off, if you will. Because Paul says we're saved by faith. James says, where's your works? James, are you saying I can earn my way in by doing some good works? Oh, shoot, let me get ready. Okay, in the back, I didn't tell you. I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 26. There was a young ruler came to Jesus. He asked a question. He said, Master, good master, what can I do to be saved? Jesus told him, keep the commandments. You know, honor their father, your mother, do this. And he said, hey, I'm good. I've been doing that since I was a youth. He said, oh, okay, well, sell what you have and give it to the poor. Do what? Excuse me, Lord, you do realize I went to the University of Michigan. I matriculated there for 7 or 8 years. I've got some student loan, but I've got this pop-up business and it's working good. And I've accumulated some wealth and this and that. And now you want me to do what? I'm good. I'll talk to you later. And he walked away. He said, now pay attention to this. And there's two things in there. He asked, what must I do to be saved? That was his question. What can I do? What must I do? What is it that I can do to guarantee I can get to heaven? And he was given his answer. But because he didn't want to do that thing, he didn't want to give up his wealth, his money, his possessions, he walked away. The other stuff he did, he said, I've been doing that stuff since I was a youth. I've been doing that. I'm good. He wasn't good, though, because as good as we think we are, we're always lacking something. We're lacking something. Hey, look, preacher, I know what you're saying, but I do come. I study. I do this. I do that. I'm working hard. I do honor my parents, even though sometimes they get on my last nerve. But I do honor them. I respect them. I take care of them. I do tithe faithfully. I do all these things. What are you talking about? Well, there's one more thing that you could be doing. See, our works are stuff we want to do. Yeah, some of you are starting to groan. Saying, yeah, But God has been working with a lot of you and say, hey, go do this. You're getting great grades over here. Go help that person. Go help who? Lord, that person, you don't know what they did. They tried to get me kicked out of here. They tried to do this. They tried to do that. They tried to get me this, and they did this. They told lies about me. He said, I know, go help that person. I'm not doing that one. That's against my nature. Oh, God, and so God will remind you. He said, yeah, they tried. Have you heard this passage of scripture? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Didn't say nothing would come against you. I said it wouldn't succeed. And the reason it didn't succeed was because you were trying to stay in my good graces. So I want you to do some good works and go help that person. See, good works are those things that are pleasing to God. Have you heard him? It says, do good to those that despitefully misuse you. Oh, okay. See, those are good works. Forgive those. Those are good works. hey, go out. You're walking down the street and you see some trash, pick it up. I didn't put it down there. But the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and everybody that dwell within. The earth belongs to God. So he says, don't you love what I created for you? Pick it up. And you don't want to do that. We want to do those things that we want to do that are pleasing to us, or we will get some accolades for. If I can't get any notoriety, why would I do that? What do you mean pick up trash? The next thing you know, people think that's my job. And then he's just a janitor. He's just a this. Wait a minute. See, we're worried about what other people think more than we are what God thinks. Okay. I'm just trying to go here. So there seems to be a split between what Paul says and what James says. Paul says, you're saved by faith alone. James says, hey, where's your works? You say you have faith, I say show me your faith. And you can't do that. Not without, I went to the soup kitchen. I volunteered my services. I tutored some folks for free. I went to a elementary school and helped them out. I picked up trash. I planted a tree. Whatever, I just did some stuff. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for us to demonstrate the love that we say we have for him. He's looking for you to demonstrate it for other folks. Because how can you draw somebody in that doesn't think this Christianity does anything? Think about it. What do we do? How do we demonstrate that Christ is good? Oh, Christ loves you. Okay. How? He saved me. From what? Sin. I like sin. Okay. What? Well, if when you die, you go to hell. I don't believe in hell. So what? What? That all you got? Yeah. Okay. No, James used the example, somebody is in need. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This happened to me one time, and I got caught. I was on my way to church, and I was driving down the highway, and I was running a little behind like I usually do, and I was speeding, and I saw this car on the side of the highway, and this woman who was obviously getting ready to go to church, older mother dressed in white, her car was pulled over. And I was like, I can't stop today. I got to teach Sunday school. And I drove past it, and it was like, turn around. I'm going to be late. Turn around. So, again, this is not the city street. This is the expressway. So you have to go to the next exit, go up, turn around, come down the expressway on the other side, turn back around, get back down the expressway, and get up there. I pulled over to the side, and so, hey, excuse me. I was on my way to church, but couldn't just leave you by the side of the road. She said, oh, well, thank you so very much. I was a little nervous. She said, I did call somebody, and they said they'll get here as soon as they can. Can you just wait till they get here? Sure. That demonstrated the love of Christ more than my teaching ever would. Because now what she will do is there was this young man that I didn't even know. I was on the side of him, and she'll spread that good news that will reach a whole bunch of other folks. This is what Christ is looking for. He's looking for us to show the effect of his love in our life by doing some good works. So he says, so faith by itself, if it does not have works, it's dead, y'all. You have faith, but you don't do anything with it. It's dead, he says. Okay, well, I know. Let me hurry up. He says, verse 18 says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works. Think how you would do that. Show me your faith apart from your works. And I'll show you my faith by everything that I do for Christ. Okay. So he says, well, you know what? I believe. You do well. The demons believe. They know who he is. demons are simply fallen angels. They know who he is. They were there. They have no doubt. But they also, it says, they shudder. When's the last time you were, had a reverential fear of God? He's God, right? Is there anything too high for God? Okay, crickets again. People in the back, is there anything too high for God? Okay, thank you. People up front, is there anything too high for God? Oh, all right, see, there we go. Thank you. So, there's a passage of scripture. I don't know where it is, so don't even worry about trying. It says, it is by him that we live, move, and have our very being. So if God decides that he doesn't want you to breathe anymore, what happens? If God decides he doesn't want the blood running in your veins anymore, what happens? If God decides that muscles, you no longer work for them anymore, you don't have the activities of your limb, you can't speak, you can't see, what can you do about it? Okay. When I was growing up, I had a healthy respect for my father. He loved me dearly, had no doubt about it. But he loved me enough sometimes to, as scriptures would say, chastise me. But I had a healthy fear, respect for him. How many of you have a healthy fear or respect for God? You see where I'm going with this? We say we love him, but we don't demonstrate that love. I have a reverential fear or respect of God, but I don't know how to show that either. So, how do you show anybody that you're a Christian? How do you get anybody to come with you to church? Why should they? When's the last time you evangelize? When we say evangelize, go and just tell somebody who's not a member of the church the good news. What are we doing, peoples? Okay, all right, hold it. I know how to do this. If your instructor said, those of you that are a little suspect in your classroom work, I'm going to give you an assignment. I will give you not only a passing grade, I will give you a superb write-up in your transcripts if you can demonstrate to me how you can do something to help your church. Don't tell your pastor, just do it. Could you come up with something? Yeah. So if we can come up with something for our earthly instructor who doesn't save you, who can't save you, but Christ, who you profess to love and does save you, we can't think of anything to do to. Wow. Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Okay. Y'all with me on this? This is what church is, and this is why sometimes, I don't know if you've heard it said here, sometimes we say we play church. We plan at going to church because we praise team, they be singing. Like, ooh, folks be, yes, Lord, yes, yes. And then the song is over. What are you saying yes, Lord, to? Yes, Lord, to your will. What's his will? Okay, I'm going to pick on somebody. You. What's his will for you? Yes. Okay, that's fair. That's a good answer. Yes, she, this woman saw me get ready to ask her. She started leaning over to him like, nope, not me. Right here, you in the blue jacket and the black mask. Yes, ma'am, you. What's his will? Uh-huh. She's like, oh, my God, he called me. Yes, I did. See, okay, y'all, but wait a minute. See, wait, come on, good peoples. Come on right here, black mask, black t-shirt. What's his will? Okay, see, wait a minute. See, we laugh, but that's a good answer because most of us don't know. And that's the problem. We don't know. Why don't we know? How can I say I'm this when I don't know? I profess I'm a Christian, but I don't know what God wants me to do. I know he loves me, but I don't know what he wants me to do. I don't know what his will is. I don't know how he wants me to treat everybody. I don't know what, why don't you know? Okay, I'm quick. Yes, ma'am, are you a student here? Oh, you lucky. Who's a student here? Nobody gonna raise their hand now. Yes, sir. Hat. What are you studying? Yeah. Pardon? Computer science. Do you know what your instructor expects of you to do? Yeah. How do you know? You go to class. And what else? you come to church. What else? Pardon? A syllabus. We call that the Bible. Do you read the syllabus? The syllabus tells you what he wants, right? Y'all see how that works? It's all laid out. It's all laid out. Okay, let me hurry up to my clothes, huh? Yeah. Whew. On the surface, it looks like James and Paul have a bump heads. With how to get to the same place, but they really aren't. They really don't bump heads. They're coming at the solution from two different directions. They both agree that you need to be saved. They both agree that a savior is Jesus, he who is the Christ. That's all Paul stops at. James simply says he's not saying that you need to do this to earn your salvation because we can't earn it. We read the scripture. It's not of works that we should boast. He's not saying that, but what he is saying is that what's in you should be demonstrated on the outside of you. You get baptized because that's an outward showing of an inward change. Well, once that inward change takes place, now we need to see that demonstrated outwardly. You need to do some good work. Okay. Woo, all right. In John chapter 14, I know it's not in my notes. She's going to kill me. John chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus was talking to his disciples. See, I like that. See, look, so, now, some of you don't know what I'm talking about right now, but that's okay, because I said that and it didn't pop up on the screen, but other folks said, oh, he gave me a scripture. Open up the pages and flip the book. Other folks open up their phones and let me see what he's talking about. That's how you find out what he wants for you, by making an active effort to do something. See, again, this is the University of Michigan. The instructors do not spoon feed you. They tell you, this is what I want, this is the information, and you can get it over there, and then they leave you to go do it. They don't say, well, let me go do this for you, show you what this result is. Here you go. Here's your answer. They tell you, go do it. You want to know the answer, what Christ is for your life? Open up the book. Open up your app. Look at it for yourself to make sure that, A, I didn't read it wrong. Make sure they didn't type it wrong. How do you know if you don't look for yourself? Because you want to be pleasing to God, not to me. All right, so John chapter 14, verse 12 says, truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever believe in me will also do the works I do. And then it says, and greater works will you do. Because he's leaving. All the miracles that Christ did, he's not doing because he left. Guess who he left to do them? I'll give you one guess. Right. but you're not doing any good works. You're visiting those in prison? I don't want to do that either. Volunteering at a soup kitchen? Volunteering at an elementary school? Tutor? Volunteering, going into some of the less fortunate schools to demonstrate what can be accomplished. Because, see, you're an example to a lot of them. You're an example of what can be accomplished to them. They can look at you and go, oh, wait a minute. She ain't but about 5'2", and wait a minute. If she can do that, I can do that too. You're an example. And they'll ask you, how do you do this? And you can tell them. There was times I get ready to struggle, times I was getting ready to give up, times I didn't think I was going to make it. Well, how did you make it? Glad you asked me. That's where that comes from. See, now you're reaching folks. You're doing some. You're working at folks. And because you start talking to somebody, they will talk to somebody else. And next thing you know, you're talking to one, and then you go back next week, and there's four or five. You're reaching folks now because now you're exhibiting what Christ would have you to do. Stay there. Okay, so, works are not the cause of salvation. Instead, works are the evidence of your salvation. Works don't cause you to be saved, but works demonstrate that you are saved. And then finally, okay. That's my second time. I didn't mention it here. Things that are of importance get reiterated. They get said over again. The instructor wants to make sure you understand this. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it this way. And I'm going to say it one more time. Those of you in a relationship, they tell you and they tell you and they tell you and they tell you again. Make sure you get it. Those of you that have children, you know that goes in one ear and right out the other. Hey, Johnny, pick up your room. Okay. And you walk by his room 30 minutes later and nothing picked up. So you tell him again, Johnny, I need to pick up your room. Okay, I got you. And you walk by the room 30 minutes again and still nothing picked up. Johnny, pick up your room. Oh, okay, I hear you. Did you tell me that before? Things that are of importance we need to repeat. So, in pages of Holy Writ, God does the same thing. Things that are of importance, he repeats. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He repeats it. Don't be afraid. He repeats it. James does the same thing here. He repeats some stuff over and over again. In verses 17, verses 20, and verse 26, he says basically the same thing over again. Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. It accomplishes nothing. Your faith, for all that you think it can do, if you don't demonstrate it, he says, it accomplishes nothing. Ooh, I see some heads shaking. That's good. That's good. Because that is the whole point of this exercise, this my getting up here to preach and teach, is to get you to either get mad about who do he think he is, or to say, well, how can I? And some of you may even say, why should I? Those are questions that you have to answer. Because the answer that's right for me won't be right for you. You have to find out. Do you love Christ enough to try to figure out what he wants you to do? I know you spend a lot of time saying, should I take this class? Should I go to this school? Should I take time off? Should I go do this? Spend just as much time with God asking, Lord, what would you have me to do? You may find out that the answer to your earthly question, he's just holding it back from you until you come to me and ask me what you want me to do for me. What school should you? Wow, I could open this door if they simply come to me. Do we have those results? I wasn't sure if we was going to get them today or not. Have y'all ever paid attention to that? Ooh, look at there. Now, I'm not sure which. Oh, okay. See, yeah, she there. Yeah, there we go. They got to bring that up. They're getting ready to do that. See, you know, these folks are awesome back here. See, these are works. Whew, yeah. Have y'all ever paid attention to that picture right there? While they're doing that, this is my last thing, Pastor Pete, and I just, they're getting those results, but I want everybody to close their eyes. Close your eyes, please. And if you're at home watching, close your eyes. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Keep them closed. Now, I need to paint the scenario for you. Jesus is with you. He's holding your hand. Matter of fact, open your eyes. Open your eyes. He's holding your hand, and he's walking and talking with you. You say, okay, Lord, this is all right. This is good. Amen. Come on, Lord. Oh, this is beautiful up here, Lord. I never thought. Ooh, Lord, look at that cliff there. I don't want to get too close to that. So now he says, close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. Now remember, he's walking with you on the mountaintop, and you saw that cliff, and you took a step back. And he takes your hand. He says, hold my hand. I'll take one step forward, just one. Somebody shook their head already. I watched them. Just, woo, okay. And you're nervous because you know what's in front of you. And then he says, now I need you to take one more little bitty step. Just barely move your foot up, and you move your foot just a little bit. But your toe, you can feel your toe on the edge of that cliff. But remember, Jesus has got your hand. Now he says, you're on the edge right here. He said, Lord, I can feel that. He said, keep your eyes closed. Now he says, take another step. How many would do it? Okay, open your eyes. If you knew that your foot was on the edge of that cliff, Jesus is holding your hand, and he says, take another step. Would you do it? Hello? Yes? No? Maybe? Perchance? Would you do it? Maybe. I got that. Would you do it? Maybe. Would you do it? Sir, I got an older gentleman right here. Sir, right here in the middle with the blue mask and the suit coat. Would you do it? Yes, sir. The one that just looked around. Yes, you. Would you do it? Would anybody do it? Raise your hand. I got a couple. Now, remember, this is Jesus, right? Who, that if you died, he could raise you back up. If you died. But what makes you think he would let you die? Maybe you could, just like James, walk on, and he walked on water, you could walk on air. Or maybe, just maybe, while your eye was closed, he had a bridge miraculously appear, but it was a test of your faith in him. You see how that works? Jesus will test your faith. And do you have a faith now that works? Because, hey, you love the Lord. He heard your cry. You studied it. You studied. You've been baptized and saved and sanctified. And you got all this. And God says, I'm going to put you to the test. Come on, Lord. I'm all ready for this. And he says, take a step. And you say, I'm not doing that. Yes. Wait a minute. What happened to your faith? Okay. That's what this. And see, this is what James was trying to get us to understand and see. You have to do something with your faith. You have to demonstrate it. And the more you do, the more he's going to ask you to do. But the more that he asks you to do is because he's becoming more proud of you, and your works are having an effect. And that's what we want to hear. Father God, we thank you for, we thank you, Father God, for being patient with us. We thank you that we haven't got to where you would have us to be. But Lord, we ask that you continue to be patient with us until we get to the point where you want us to be concerning you. Father God, forgive us for our disobedience, and Forgive us for our doubts, and forgive us, Lord, for not doing all that we should be doing, all that you would have us do. Lord, simply forgive us because we're still your children and we are trying to be like you. Help us, Lord. Help our unbelief. Help us to grow further in you. Help us to be more like you so that we can exemplify you when we demonstrate our faith to others. Father God, we thank you and magnify your name. It's in Jesus' name we simply say, amen.